You're listening to Wondering Jews with Josh and Roy. I'm Roy.
And I'm Josh. This is the podcast where two youngish Jewish dads smoke some weed, get baked, and wonder what it means to be a Jew today.
On this episode, we wonder about processing. Then we get ripped from the headlines.
Later, we dust off a nug and dust off the random number generator for the not-so-weekly 613 of the week. Then, we pack fresh bowls for a day trip to the land of Yiddish proverbs.
Doesn't that sound fun, boys and girls? But before we dive into that infused conversation, we want to thank our token supporters and our Bubby Kush supporters over there on Patreon. We are having a lot of fun making this show, and it's made possible because of the token supporters who give. So thank you.
We love our token supporters, and we would love you too. Join us. Become a token supporter today. Click the link in the show notes, contribute $4.20 or more a month, and help keep this show going. Thank you.
So Josh, what are we burning up tonight?
Well, Roy, everything has gone to online ordering. And while I was doing it, you could choose what you wanted the effects to be of the smoke. So I chose chatty. And then I looked at the price points. And I didn't get the most expensive weed, but I got the second most expensive weed. And that weed is Tomahawk, which comes to us from Oregon Roots.
And this particular baggie tested at 27.95%, right?
That is correct. It's pretty dense and it smells really good.
What does the interweb extraordinaire say about Tomahawk?
Tomahawk is a glorious hybrid that is worth keeping around. This strain has fantastic resin context and bag appeal. Nugs look like they were rolled in sugar, with many delectable clouds of trichomes that are gooey to the touch. The terpene profile is dank and putrid, with pungent flavors and aromas akin to a gasoline, diesel, stale coffee, cocoa butter, and chemicals. Hints of diesel and skunkiness complete the finish for this odd smell. This is best for evening usage.
That's a hell of a description. Look, just because you have access to a thesaurus doesn't mean you can use the word putrid unless you're really sure that you know what you're saying when you call something putrid. Sometimes these descriptions, in searching for a more interesting word, might end up choosing a word that they didn't mean to use, like chemically and putrid.
Well, we'll be the judge of that, won't we, Roy?
We will. I'm going to pop this container open and smell the nug. It does smell good. It is a little bit sticky. It has a little bit of stickiness to it. I don't know about the word gooey, just like I don't know about the word putrid, but I didn't write the description. But it's very promising. So I think here's what we're going to do. We're going to pack our respective glass items, spark these up, and be right back. Are you in a hurry?
No, okay. I'm not in a hurry. I actually, you know, did not have a great day today, Roy, and so I'm really happy that we got to hit this Tomahawk. I would say it's changed my demeanor in about 2.5 minutes.
Really?
So I would call it fast acting.
And let's see if it's long lasting.
That I don't know.
It's like Seinfeld has a joke about Tylenol and whether to take the fast acting or the long lasting one. And he goes, when do I want to feel better, now or later? It's like, yep, that's the question. Well, I'm very happy to hear that it's reframed your perspective on things, because I know how it feels to have sometimes a shitty day.
Yeah. So, Roy, what Jew wondering about?
Well, this Jew be wondering about processing. So there's a lot going on in the world right now. I don't know if you know about it. Even before this recent, what we call 2020, I don't even know what we would call 2020, sort of simulation run amok is what I'm going to call 2020.
I had such high hopes for 2020 because it's like 2020 vision, perfect vision.
Yeah, I mean, that's why it's so perfectly ironic. You know, it's like 2020 is completely blurry to everyone. But, you know, when people talk about all the things that are going on in their lives,
the people that I talk to anyway, they talk about sort of needing to process something, right? So if something happens in your personal life and you're like, I just need a minute to process what just happened, or you need to talk to somebody to process it. But I hear that term a lot. And what I don't hear people talking about is what their actual process is. What do they mean when they say processing? They must mean something, but what exactly do they mean? So that made me wonder, like, what do people mean when they say processing?
To me, what processing is just like slowing it down, going through a filter, or just like taking it sort of piece by piece in a slower way. So putting the brakes on whatever activity. And I do think that people are going slower.
Right. People are going slower in a response to because of how much faster everything else feels like it's going.
Also, I think that you have to process things from more angles. Because I think earlier in life, you were able to process things just how it would affect you. But now I'm supposed to process things on how it would affect the other person. Like, that's
right,
new.
Right. Or society.
Or the future or the past. You know, so there's lots of different angles that I have to consider now.
Yeah, I think that's true. I also think that we are not actually processing as much as we think we are processing. I read somewhere that the brain, through its different sensory organs, is taking in something like 2 million bits per second of information. But we're only actually able to process about 2,000 bits. So we're ruling out immediately, just sort of discarding, you know, 99 point something percent of the information we're receiving. Because even the information we're receiving is overwhelming.
I think it's people are processing because they don't want to sort of make a mistake. I think it's like a self-defense thing.
So they're sort of checking themselves before they riggedy-wreck themselves?
Yeah. The thing about processing, though, is that usually what you think first is usually it's okay to go that way. It may not be the right way, but at least it's a way. And
yeah.
Sometimes do you remember when you used to get pornography on America Online and it would like download sort of like line by line?
I have no idea what you're talking about. There's no way I could know anything. Yeah, sure. I know what you mean. I'm familiar with slow loading speed, early internet porn from a historical perspective point of view.
Sure. But even as it was processing that information and I was waiting for all the information to come in to make a decision on whether I liked that, my first instinct was usually right.
Also, I'm guessing like a teenage young Josh in like 1990s is not like – he's not ruling out a lot of things. That's the age where you're also eating Taco Bell. It's like our standards weren't that high.
I have a question for you about processing. If you need to process it, do you even want it? Like if anyone is giving you information that requires processing, is that information that you really want to have?
If you are so fortunate as to not have to ever receive information that you have to process, I'm not exactly sure how one goes through life without being handed some information that they have to process. I think everybody should be processing the information they're getting a little harder. It wouldn't hurt for everyone to just slow down and process things a little more.
Yeah.
You know, because I think part of what's happening right now is that so much terrible stuff is happening that we're not trying to process it. We're just trying to shut it all out. Because it's all just so toxic and negative and overwhelming and depressing and scary and unprecedented. You know, the desire is not to try and run it through a processor. The desire is to just freaking, you know, put a fire shield up and just let it blow up. Like, you don't want it in you.
Maybe the issue is that we're just not running on the same processor. Like, maybe we'd be better off if instead of you and I using different processors, maybe we should just get like, we should all just commit to like a Microsoft processor and then we're all processing it the same way, right?
I knew that eventually in one of these episodes, your true Microsoft loyalties would play out. This is all just a long Microsoft game. We're definitely all running on different processors. A very different power and speed.
I'm okay with people running different processors, but I think we should all be required to take the speed test because I don't care what processor you're running, but it has to be able to do some basic functions.
Okay, and then what, people walk around with like a speed number on them, Josh?
Yeah, you know, and then it's sort of like you've sort of, you know, kind of assigned people some sort of numerical value.
Oh my God. Every episode we do reminds me why I'm so grateful you're not in charge.
I'm glad you're processing this, Roy, and I'm glad you made me think about this today. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you for wondering with me about it. So I have a question for you. Hey, Josh. How? Hi, are you?
In full transparency, the video that we have, Roy, is probably on like a 5-second delay from the audio.
Yeah.
And so I'm starting to trip a little bit.
Okay. Because my mouth and my sounds are not matching up in the video.
Right. So I don't know if that's affecting the flying craft that I'm feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with the arcade game Twin Eagle? It's one of these old stand-up arcade games where you're a helicopter and the screen just scrolls and you just shoot everything on the screen, right? And then sometimes it goes fast and sometimes it goes slow and you have different weapons, things cool. like that. One of the bad guys are these helicopters that spin really fast and kind of just swarm in circles. Okay. And that's sort of how I'm feeling right now. Like I'm starting to swarm and sort of and get in circles.
Uh-oh.
But it feels good. It's the good part of the dizzy, not the bad part where things go south. Right now, I'm still feeling good. How? How are you?
I would say I'm something that makes you feel a little barfy when you're flying on it. You know those like the chairs that swing around at the amusement parks? Like you sit in the seat and it swings around and around and around. And it kind of feels like you're flying. But after a little while, it just kind of feels like you're waiting to vomit. That's kind of how I'm feeling on the Tomahawk right now. I'm feeling just a slight bit nauseous.
Yeah, me too, Ryan.
You are?
Yeah.
That's what so do you think? Interesting. No, the high itself is great, but the body sensation is not.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, do you guys want to get high and then go and vomit? Because that's what it is. I'm going to go ahead and skip to the end of the show where I say this is not when I would grow. I can circle back around and confirm it later, but let me tell you, as of now, I'm enjoying the chattiness of the high, but not the subtle feeling of vomiting.
Fair enough. It's clear to me that we are both ripped right now, and so I'm prepared to get ripped from the headlines.
Ripped from the headlines.
So our first headline comes from the Forward magazine, Forward Online. Mad magazine legend Al Jaffe folds it in at 99. Check out his last fold in. So were you a Mad magazine reader when you were a kid?
I was pretty into it for a few years.
I was also very into it for a few years.
It was a nice thing to have. You know, I was a big fan. And this article is about this guy, Al Jaffe, who had been with the magazine since 1964.
That's a long time. Yeah, and he is the artist who created all the fold-ins. And the fold-ins really were like maybe one of the main selling points of the whole magazine.
To me, what the fold-in was whether or not I had read it yet. Because I was always sort of reticent to fold the actual magazine because I didn't want to hurt the resale value for some reason.
Oh, thank God. I always remember being blown away by it because I was like, how did somebody design this image? You know, it always seemed kind of like such a magic trick to me. And so, you know, he's retiring at the age of 99, so I guess I'll let him. Amazing contribution to satire and comedy.
Did you know that the magazine actually stopped producing a magazine last year?
Yeah, I do. I remember we talked about it on the show once.
Right. But he's just retiring now. Like, did anyone not tell him that they like stopped doing this?
Like, that's so depressing. He's like drawing these incredible hand rendered fold-ins in the last of his career, and he's like folding them and putting them into the like an envelope and mailing them to an empty room, which is in itself very Mad magazine. You know, it's like sort of tragic comedy. I realized that so much of the comedy in that magazine was over my head when I was young and reading it. Because I think if I went back and read it now, I would get so many more of the references. They were really highbrow stuff, but then it was kind of these goofy pictures to subvert everything. So cool.
Yeah.
Al Jaffe, amazing contribution. Such a fucking hero. Way to go, dude.
Well, Roy, the second headline we have for you today is from the Willamette Week. And the headline is, monthly cannabis sales in Oregon topped $100 million for the first time ever. This is about May, when it's the third consecutive month that the cannabis sales have been the best ever, and it's 60% higher than last May.
Yeah, you know, this comes from, I believe, the no shit desk at Willamette Week. Obviously, people are buying more cannabis because they are coping with more insanity in their life. And if this is what it's going to take for us all to get through it, then good. Just keep going, guys.
Do you anticipate the June number to be higher?
Absolutely. More? Yeah, absolutely. Okay. You know, we're just very fortunate in Oregon to have a ton of incredible high quality craft products at incredibly reasonable prices. Also because, you know, if these sales numbers are strong, then that means that people who work in the cannabis industry still have jobs. And right now that matters. So right on. Keep token, people. Keep token.
The last story we have for you comes from Mirror.UK. And the story is Miss Hitler beauty pageant contestant jailed for part in neo-Nazi terror group.
So where exactly do we start with this story? You know, is it with the setup, which is the Miss Hitler pageant?
Yeah, let's start there. So it's unclear to me if there actually was a Miss Hitler pageant, because I tried to Google it, and it seems like because it was exposed in these arrests that the pageant never actually took place. We will never know who is Miss Hitler.
Yeah, well, real loss for them. And also a big surprise that somebody in a Miss Hitler beauty pageant contest would have any ties to neo-Nazi terror groups. It's, you know, I mean, it's sort of like, you know, like Civil War reenactors, you know, they're just there for the history of it, right? I'm not going to do any shaming because I don't believe in any kind of body shaming kind of stuff. I'm just going to say that if you look at like the real pageants, Miss Universe, Miss whatever, and you look at the diversity and the beauty that diversity creates, that beauty is not present in the Miss Hitler pageant. You're ruling out too much of the gene pool to be left with the good stuff. You know, if you're out there listening and you're like, I have a different opinion about Miss Hitler, don't write us.
I was going to shit on their relationship because, you know, they broke up during the trial.
Well, go ahead and shit on their relationship. This is your time.
Yes, it just wasn't meant to be. You know, the one thing that sort of makes me feel good, it says that she joined the pageant to drum up support for membership purposes for the organization. And it just makes you feel good. Like, if that's how they think they're going to get members is by having to join beauty pageants, I feel like we have a shot at sort of overpowering these people.
Yeah, and I do think we have largely, for the time being, overpowered them. But, you know, I am concerned about a steady rise fueled by people in positions of power. A Trump. But we are okay. We are okay.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I think we're so okay, we should probably refresh our pipes before we dust off the random number generator. Does that sound like a plan?
It does.
All right. Then let's repack the tomahawk and see if this nausea subsides.
Hear me! Oh, hear me! All pay heed! The Lord Jehovah, has given unto you these 15... Ten commandments for all to obey.
Well, Roy, it's time for the 613 of the week. As you know, there are 613 mitzvot or commandments in the Torah, and we like to pick one at random using a random number generator and see what we've been missing. Let's find out what the random number generator gives us today. The number is 412.
412. What is that? That sounds to me like a real kind of Deuteronomy kind of sounding.
It is. So this is Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment. Ye shall hear the small and the great alike. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of any man. For the judgment is God's, and the cause is that too hard for you ye shall bring unto me, and I will hear it. And according to Maimonides' list on the internet, that passage has become the commandment not to appoint judges who are not familiar with judicial procedure.
To hear that section and then to reach that as the teaching
is an interesting set of steps.
Yeah, the connection isn't clear to me, but, you know.
It is interesting because it is one specific about not appointing judges who do not have, like, jurisprudence, who do not have judicial experience. And, I mean, what the Trump administration has been doing for 4 years is appointing judges who have no judicial experience. Even the American Bar Association categorically rejects their nomination, but these are lifetime appointments. And this is the same administration that claims to be so freaking Christian and so righteous. The number of commandments that this administration is breaking, even of the ones people haven't heard of.
Well, this one they are definitely breaking. 412, we could put that on a sign and stick it on that house of theirs.
Leviticus 1:17, is that what it is?
Yeah, Deuteronomy 1:17. This passage, Deuteronomy 1:1 through 3:22, is Devarim. And basically what's happening in the Torah right now is they basically get to the promised land and Moses begins his final words of instruction to the children of Israel and sort of recounts the entire physical journey that they've had for the past 40 years. And so that's what this portion is about. And in that section is this passage. And so what I thought was really interesting in the text, let me just read this to you and then this may make more sense to you. Get you from each of your tribes wise men and understanding and full of knowledge, and I will make them the heads over you. And then this is in 16, and I charge your judges at the time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren and judge righteously between a man and his brother and the stranger that is with him. Once I read all that, I was like, okay, well, at least I kind of understand like how they sort of pulled this commandment out of that one line that the internet. So basically what I've learned today is don't trust the internet all the time.
That's right. I think the quote I saw on the internet that said it best said, you can't trust everything you read on the internet, Abraham Lincoln. No, I appreciate our tradition's focus on sort of judicial structure and the role of courts and the role of witnesses and the role of sentencing. And like, I mean, it's not a surprise to me that Jews would gravitate towards the law and towards professions in the law, because it's like, that's everything. That's our whole thing. You know, Torah is the law.
Do you think that you could make the argument, you know, there are some states where they elect judges, right? Where it's like an election.
Sure. Yes.
It seems to me like that is against this commandment, because we should not appoint judges who are not familiar with judicial procedure. And that's what we're doing if we allow people to vote for judges. That line of attack ad would affect people's minds, hearts and minds in those communities.
I think that there should be a whole series of attack ads that run in largely red states that are, here are all the ways that Trump is violating the 613 commandments of the tradition that served as the basis for your worldview. Like, you guys want to talk about what a good Christian he is? Let's talk about what a not good Christian he is.
412.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Deuteronomy 1:17. The random number generator never disappoints.
When we come back, we'll get into our Yiddish phrase of the century.
Thought we could take an enjoyable trip to a land that we haven't been to since maybe our first handful of episodes, the land of Yiddish proverbs. For this episode, I wanted to pick one that sort of echoed a sentiment I have about our Judaism and how we practice it. Okay, so the Yiddish is Nein Reboinen Kainen Kein Minyan Mach Nicht Machen Obertsun Shostres Yo. Oof, butchered that. I apologize to all my ancestors who were mortified at that.
Who are not Patreon supporters. Come on.
No, they're just ghosts who just hang out and make me feel bad on how far I've strayed. But let me just translate it. It means this. It means 9 rabbis can't make a minyan, but 10 shoemakers can. I love this one because it is a great leveler. It's saying, yeah, we understand you're a rabbi, but you need 10 of you to make a minyan, and no matter how great you are, you're not 10. But these sort of humble 10 shoemakers are able to do what you guys can't. I don't know. It's a real sort of thumb in the eye of power.
Community over authority.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a big fan.
The only time when 10 shoemakers can't make a minyan is when those shoemakers are children in a sneaker factory.
Thanks, man. That's a real downer, dude. But no, you're right. Those kids really should be able to make a minion.
What do you think nine rabbis could do?
They could call their phone tree and find a 10th member for the minion. So, Josh, I have a question for you. Would you grow this? Would you grow this tomahawk?
I would smoke it, but growing is, it's a lot of work.
Are you saying you won't grow anything? Or are you saying you didn't grow this?
I guess what I'm saying is, if you're going to grow it, why don't you just give me some?
So the rating scale for you is no longer applies.
I just don't want to do anything, Roy. Why would I want to grow this? I don't even want it. I don't know, man. Maybe this is a good before bed weed because it just makes me not want to do anything.
I mean, I started off the show saying I would skip to the end and just say I'm not going to grow this. And I think I'm going to stand by that statement. But I do respect it. It's a good strain. It is chatty. You did ask for a chatty strain, and we did get that. You asked for a chatty and non-nausea-inducing strain.
Next time I get it, maybe I'll see if I can put more than one filter in.
Yeah, I think I'll do your algorithm a little bit when you go to.
Yeah.
I would say I will not be growing this, but I recommend people to give it a try.
The last thing I'll say about Tomahawk Roy is the name is a little offensive.
Yeah, I was wondering if one of us was going to bring it up.
The only reason for me to sort of grow this is to mate it with something else so we could rename it.
No. I think what you have to do is you have to go back to the people who grew this and say, you got to pick a different name. But I don't like this word policing thing. But you're right. The word tomahawk seems a little appropriate-y, you know, unless there's some origin to the name that I don't know. In which case, I'm open to it. If it's an honorary strain name to honor somebody or recognize something, then maybe. But I think that's a stretch. Regardless, we're not going to find out, but if you guys know origin of strain name that we find mildly offensive but a decent strain, tell us on Twitter at JewsWondering or by email, wonderingjewspodcast@gmail.com. Yeah, that's the real one, wondering with an O. Like, I wonder why they use such a long email address.
And if you don't want to tell us about something, but you want to tell your friends about the show, tell a friend about the show. It will help us grow the Wondering Juice community.
I hope everybody had a good time on today's show. We'll catch you next time. Until then, keep wondering.